So it is still May 5th, 2022. This is Stories That Sound Now, our second half-day retreat of three, and it is our second half. And so did you take care of yourselves? What did you do? I'd love to hear a couple things. Did you eat? Did you rest? Diane?
I went outside and stood in the grass in my bare feet and had a couple of pieces of chocolate.
That's fantastic. I love it. Thank you for hearing that part of like, please, please take care of yourself. Let's hear one more just for fun. What'd you do to take care of yourself? Heidi.
A very quick power nap.
I love that. That's great. Quick, but effective, right? Good. All right. I got myself some bubbly water with coconut. Still drinking it's hot lemon. It's not hot anymore, but it's really good. And I did some self-care myself as well. So, all right. Anything bubbling up from before the break that just is wanting to be said, an aha or a question, anything bubbling up in the room, just to clear out before we move to the next piece. Nothing haunting you or needing to be said. Okay, let's move on then. Good. All right. So before the break, we talked about, last week we created all those story stems. We know we've got infinite stories. We know that what a theme is, we know the story has to hook up with a theme. And also that we often think, well, that's just the theme of that story, but we can craft that. We hook that story up with that theme and it can point to different themes we get to choose. Then this week we said, okay, well, we have to learn something about writing. So here's an understanding of the writing process so we can start to play with our words. We play with it like clay. I gave you that acronym so you can have an understanding of the component parts of it. And I love that we had Dawn's story to play with. It's like, oh, you know, everybody in the room heard her. And it's both that she had something important to say, but it's how she said it. It had those essential story elements and it makes us listen. It has us hearing. All right. So, and then what are those elements of story? Well, last week I just said, tell a story, and we have some intuitive knowing about what a story is. Like, let's just do it. But now we can start to add some craft to that. And we say, well, the story has a plot. It has things happening. What are those things? Somebody wants something. Something's in the way. It gets worse and worse. Comes to a crisis point. There's a decision. We enter into a new world, right? A decision is made. And the theme is somewhere in there. But sometimes, like in complex stories too, like a novel or something, the theme can be in different places. But for our purposes, it's just like, just make sure your story has a theme. And that everything ties to that theme. There isn't something extra. We watched what happened when it drifted from that last time, right? So then crafting our stories more. So now our stories have a plot. And I mentioned in the chat, and I mentioned that word irreconcilable goods. This is something that comes from a guy named Robert McKee. And oh, wait, because I've got my ear thing now, I can actually walk to the other room. I want to show you something and I forgot to grab it. So you guys can still hear me when I get up. I love my new little headphones. So let's see if I can.
Michelle, we can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Can't hear anymore? I'll be back.
Okay, quick, tell the story about what she's doing while she disappeared.
That's funny. I was going to get a book. Can you hear me now? All right. You could hear me out to the door and then you couldn't hear me past that, but I could hear you. You're like, Michelle, I can't hear you. Don't worry. I was just saying, I know it's here somewhere. All right. So, excuse me. Oh, hang on. So much better. Not 100% yet, but so much better. So this is from this book, like this heavy, weighty tome, Robert McKee on story. And he is a wonderful teacher of story. He's just entrepreneurs now as well, but his claim to fame is like probably every Hollywood movie that you love, either was produced or directed, or one of the main actors was, you know, taught by Robert McKee. So, you know, but entrepreneurs, like, do you have time to read entire, like you don't need to know all of this about story, right? But just, you know, written, directed, or produced by students of Robert McKee, Air Force One, Ally McBeal, Barcelona, Batman Forever, Beauty and the Beast, The Brothers, McMullen, Cheers, The Client, The Color Purple, et cetera, right? The guy knows lots about story. And that phrase, irreconcilable goods, I believe he coined that phrase. And this story comes from, I think that's where I first heard it, was in that book. So irreconcilable goods, if you... I decided to touch on this today. We don't need to know too much about it. I just want you to know, have a little bit deeper understanding about story. And then for entrepreneurs, we kind of can simplify the stories. But if you really understand how stories are working, you'll just have access to a deeper level of story. That's all. You'll be able to see how stories are working more, and your story understanding will grow. All right. So, a little bit about the obstacle first, and then about irreconcilable goods. So we think that we don't want things to be bad. And we don't want things to be bad in our lives, but sometimes things feel bad. Sometimes things are hard. And so our stories are designed, we're hardwired to listen to stories to understand how to survive, basically. Like our ancestors told stories around the campfire to say, hey, there's a saber-toothed tiger, don't go that way, you'll get killed, you know? So stories are designed for survival. And if you think about it, we need to understand how to survive those things that are hard. And so we're kind of hardwired as human beings to hear when things are getting worse and worse. And it's kind of like we get to experience it vicariously. If we watch, even like, why do we watch tragedies, for instance, right? Well, that thing happened to that person and, oh, it got worse and worse, and they made that choice. There's the theme, right? And then that happened and I don't have to go that way, right? So our stories instruct us, our stories connect us. So they do so many things, right? And I just want to say a little bit about that obstacle piece, because our stories, they when they get worse and worse, we actually listen better. And it often we want, well, I don't want it to get bad because I don't want to hurt people. But people are actually listening, and it's not harming people, it's trying to help them. And if you think of it, like your potential client has pain, for instance, right? And if you can't open up what that is, if they won't be honest with you about what that actually is, you can't help. So I want you not to shy away from that obstacle part of story. It's one of the biggest mistakes we make, is we gloss over that piece of it. And so I didn't give this example yesterday. I think it was an interview the day before. So I really like this story, or this little piece of a story. When we're telling story in our everyday lives, sometimes things happen like this. Like I pick up the phone and I say, Heidi, can you give me Yvonne's phone number? Can I do this with you, Heidi? Do you mind? Is this okay? All right. And Heidi says, sure, Michelle, I have Yvonne's phone number. And I say, thank you. I got it. Goodbye. And how much did you want to listen to that 10 second blurb? I lost you all in 10 seconds, didn't I? Things like that happen in our everyday world, but that's not what grabs us. If stories are about survival, we want to understand the obstacles. We want to know what to do when things get hard, right? So I lost you all in that, but when we go networking, doesn't a lot of it sound like that, right? It's like flat line and nobody's listening to anything, right? But story is writ large. Story is like, think Harry Potter, think, you know, Hamlet, think, you know, our stories are larger than life. But the thing is, like, our own lives often feel larger than life. Do you know? Like those things that happen to us, like they feel like, oh, you couldn't put that in a story. They would never believe that. Like, I mean, examples from my own life. Some of you were there, you know, with me, and you all know about it, that. You know, my dad died suddenly of a stroke. And then the day my dad died, the day of his funeral, I had to take my mom to the doctor. It's like stuff happens that we think, well, you couldn't even say that because, you know, so our lives feel like that sometimes, right? And so it feels writ large, and we want to know how to move through those moments. And so when I say stories are writ large, it's not that I'm saying that you have to like pretend or make things up or, but it's just things that are writ larger than life attract us. We want to know how Harry Potter gets out from underneath the stairs at his awful aunt and uncle's house, because sometimes life feels that way. And so we're rooting for him, and he's larger than life because we aspire to that. So am I making sense about this, how stories resonate with us? You got it. Okay. And then, so piece about the obstacle, I lost you when I asked for Yvonne's phone number. That we have moments in life that are like that, but when we want it to be a story that grabs people, again, think larger than life, think Harry Potter, think Hamlet, think, you know, Hunger Games, think, you know, I pick up the phone and I say, Heidi, will you give me Yvonne's number? Do you have Yvonne's number? Will you give it to me? And you go, why would I give that to you? Besides, Yvonne's missing. Don't ever call me again. Click. You all just perked up. I just made this up about something horrible that Heidi just did to me, right? And you all just got alive in the room. Did you see that? I just want you to notice the real effect. So it's not some kind of story theory that I'm giving you. Watch what happened in the room in 5 seconds. Because all of a sudden now, isn't there an obstacle? And we want to know what's happening. Why is this going on? And there's a pieces about character too. It's like, why is Heidi so upset with Michelle? And what happened to Yvonne anyway? And right, we've got, now we're on the tail of a story. And in stories too, it tends to get worse and worse. Because as human beings, we're inclined to take the easiest answer, aren't we? Like if I need Yvonne's phone number and I know Heidi has it, I'm just going to pick up the phone and try to call her. I'm not going to fly around the world because her family is in the Netherlands, go there, see if her brother has her number. Like I'm going to take the easiest route, right? So I'm going to call Heidi. And then maybe I'll go, well, geez, you know, Heidi's just in a bad mood. Now I call Dawn. And then if the story is going to grab you, what's going to happen? Am I going to be able to, if Dawn just says, oh, here's her number, like I've lost you again, right? I'm going to be much more interested if Dawn says, didn't you hear what happened to Heidi? I'm sorry, I don't have time to tell you, I got to go, right? Like, no wonder she said that. Now we're even more, right? Like, oh no, something's going on with Heidi now too, right? So obstacles, and it gets worse. And if we are afraid to go there, then, we can't go there when our clients and potential clients are in pain. We can't listen to their story. So, and to go back to Heidi's real example earlier on, she said, like, I was afraid to go there because I felt there was something that I feel shame about. So that's where that inner world piece, we have to be able to go into our own stories, or we won't be able to hold space for another person's story. We can't hold space for another person's story. We can't help anybody. Right? So we go to those places. And things get worse and worse. And that's why a crisis comes, because obstacle after obstacle, right? And even ironically, and I'm using my own real story about my father, if it's just like, well, my dad died, I'm talking about very real things. My dad died. So I left Calgary. I went to Edmonton. I went to his funeral and then I came home. In this moment, you don't care. Even though you are such heart-centered people, but in the moment of telling it, aren't I right? You don't care because it's not coming to you in story form. We're programmed to hear story. Did you get that? Like I'm using my own life here to tell you how much story matters and story form matters. But then when I tell you that I got there and then I had to take my mom to, like, now you're listening, not just because you care, but because it has story form, right? Okay. So, jot down your biggest aha. Okay, if you're with me so far about the real emotional effects of story and why it matters so much that we understand story form, raise your hand. Are we getting there? Yeah, 100%. Fantastic. Okay. So I want to use another example from Robert McKee. He's brilliant on story. Not only have I read his book, I've been to some of his seminars. He's really, really smart on story. And but again, I mean, you can go and do seminars if you want. He's like a grouchy, grouchy guy. Oh my goodness. And he loves tragedy. And his own story, I tell you, when I was at his workshop, I could hear the threads of his own story. And I'm like, man, you know, he's hurting in this and this and this way, right? And I was just talking to another participant. She says, you got to go tell him. I'm like, that's not my place to go tell him. So anyway. Interesting character, swears a lot. And yeah, his favorite stories are tragedies. And it shows when he talks about the bits of his life. But brilliant, brilliant on stories. If you want to learn more, a deep dive in story, you know, I recommend his work. So he, irreconcilable goods. I talked about that, right? So at this moment of crisis, I want to touch on this and then don't worry too much about it, but I just want to tell you, I want to honor you with a deeper dive into story because of the level you've been playing at. You get that? And if you go, I don't know what the irreconcilable, don't worry about it, but you will start to hear stories differently. You'll pick up more about it. All right. So this moment of crisis, it's not really a crisis, is it? If, let me use Harry Potter, that's what came to mind. If he has a choice either to sit on the couch or go and save the world, so he goes to fight Voldemort and he wins the end. How interested are you? You don't care at all. Because it's nothing at stake for him, right? Like, and it's so obvious that there's not a real choice. Of course he's going to go save the day. But, and here I'll do a spoiler if you haven't read all the books or seen all the movies, but it's years old. So can I do a spoiler? Just plug years ago, la, 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 if you don't want to hear the end of Harry Potter, all right? So there's irreconcilable goods that when you make the choice, you're actually choosing one thing, not the other. And you step into a different world. And you can't have two things at once. Either you can't have two things at once, all right? So, and at the end of Harry Potter, that's why J.K. Rowling knows a lot about story, clearly, right? At the end, Harry Potter faces a classic decision, and it's in lots of other kinds of stories like this too, but it works in this story. Either Harry Potter gets to live, you know, or... let me see. It's not even that either Harry Potter gets to live. Let me see. Either he gets to live or he gets to save the day, but he can't have both. He can't live and actually have his friends live. And he's got to make a choice. And now, see, you're all caught on the story of like, and it's years old. And in this moment, I can hear you all going like, oh, right? And irreconcilable goods, at that moment of choice, it's a real choice. Now, this can come as, you know, it doesn't have to be life and death. Think back to, thank you, Dawn, for sharing with us. And I hope you're okay that I'm talking about it as story, you're still all right. Thank you. Because we can hear it then, how it works in the real world, right? Dawn has to make a choice because there is the person that she has been all along and how she's thought about what it means to be an empath. And there's even ideas perhaps of sensitivity and who you are, and you get to feel yourself to be that extra sensitive person. And something of that, who she thought herself to be, has to fall away if she's going to actually embrace this new understanding of what it means to be an empath. She can't have both at once. She can't hold on to that person that she thought she was, which has some advantages, and step into this new world. It's another reason that her story really grabbed us, because we could feel the work that had to happen, the real shift that had to happen. That's a, like, I would say like not irreconcilable goods light, but you know what I'm saying? It's like in Harry Potter, it's like, well, you're going to die, you know, but it's it, with Dawn, there's still something of like, oh, that's what I wanted to get across. That's why I wanted to share with you about this irreconcilable goods. It's not just like, Well, either you sit on the couch or you save the day if you're the hero. Well, there's no real choice there. But there's advantages. There had been advantages to Dawn to see it as I'm this sensitive that it actually tortures me because I want to see myself as a really, really sensitive person. And I know myself to be that. And I won't be that other non-sensitive person. But as soon as she reconfigures it as a strength, she has to let go of that part of herself that believed that. Right? If you're with me, raise your hands. Irreconcilable goods. Sometimes it comes in forms like Sophie's Choice, for instance, that movie from long ago. Remember, like either you can, it's horrible, right? It's tragedy. Sophie gets a choice in that movie. It's either she chooses to let one of her children live and one die because the Nazi officer is going to take them away, right? Or they'll take away both. So either both her kids die and she can think of herself as the good mother who doesn't choose one child over the other, but she's lost both children. Or she chooses one child over the other. One will live, one will die, and she has to make the choice in the moment and live with that choice for the rest of her short life. And all I need to tell you is that piece of the movie, and you go like, ugh, right? Irreconcilable goods. So when we say things get worse and worse, and then there's a crisis. When stories feel like that, then they move us. They grab us, right? And then I want to give you an everyday example. This one popped into my mind as I was thinking about teaching you this morning. So I want to use this example. Years ago, one of my teachers asked me to give a testimonial, and she had hundreds and hundreds of students, but she ran my testimonial for years and years, right? Of all the hundreds of people that she taught. And people always said, Michelle, that's because you're so vulnerable. And you told a vulnerable story, but yes, you know, I'll tell real things on stage, but Marnie, you know, like Marnie's shaking her head. It's because I understood story form. And so just like I was showing you last time, or you, like you were doing, you know, and Deborah was doing, she picked 8-track tape, not Ring. I was pulling the pieces out of the story to share, to make a point. And so that testimonial got circulated over and over and over again. Lots of exposure for me and my company too. Because she ran that testimonial. Testimonials are a wonderful thing for you, and you give them for somebody else because you get to be seen, right? And it was a story about events. And this was 10 years ago, I think now. And so you can hear the elements of story. So I wanted to give you an everyday business example. This is for a testimonial, but testimonials work in this way too. And what I said was, and this had elements of keeping the audience in mind, what was the purpose, all these things, right, that we've been learning. So I knew that she taught about how to have events that both serve people well and make money. And so I knew that that was what she was offering. I knew it really made a difference to people, and I wanted to help her help people. So I knew that some people thought, well, I can't do that because I don't have a big event. So I knew that that was a story that I could tell that would really help her help people. So the story that I told was I'd been teaching events. I'd never held an event where I'd made offers before. It wasn't something I'd done, right? But I was able to say, you know, I've been hosting events for years, but I hadn't made money at them. And I said, you know, so I had an event and two people had enrolled. And I wasn't sure if I should hold the event because there's like a lot that goes into an event, right? And so I said, but you know, then I talked to my daughter, and she said, but Mom, you know, those people are counting on you. You gave them your word. Can you see that? Like, I can't really hold an event because it's like, well, what am I going to do? And it's only two people, and it's a big, you know, it's an expense and all these things, right? But then Dana said, and see, that's the theme. Like, you do it anyway, right? It came out of Dana's, and you gave them the word. So I held the event. And you know, 150% of them bought, and I made $13,000 that weekend, you know, because, you know, one person, they both invested, and one of them told their friend. I was so shocked, right? So, but you can see that the reason that story circulates, so that's a testimonial, it's a business illustration, right? The reason it circulated was many things. I was thinking about the purpose and audience, right? What is it that I wanted to say? What's the message I wanted to say? The message was that you can hold an event, even if it's small, and it can work for you in your company, and it's going to be okay. right? And don't be afraid. And you have an obligation to your people. There were definitely sub points in there. So I don't want to confuse you with that. Let me think. How do I not confuse you with this? The main message I was getting across was you can do this too. And it can be really easy. You can do this too is the main message, right? And it can be easier than you think. Even if you have a small audience, don't be afraid. And would some people argue against that? Of course they would. Was that in service both to the host and to the audience? Of course it was, right? And it had a particular theme, and things got, in this little mini story that I told, things got worse too. Because now I'm like, oh, I just want to back out. And people were telling me I should back out, right? But my daughter, and I'm not gonna, you know, it got worse because I'm like, now if I back out, I'm letting my daughter down too. And right, you can see some of the elements of the obstacles, and I can't back out and protect my company essentially, right? And be who I want to be and be aligned with my daughter as well. That short story had all those elements in it. If you can see how that aligns with all the pieces we've been learning, is it making sense to you? Raise your hand. I've given you enough elements of story so you can see how the pieces are working together. Fantastic. Okay. So story must have a theme. It must have an obstacle. It gets worse and worse until a crisis comes, all those pieces that I gave you, but those are some of the fleshing out of how that works, all right? And and then I wanted to give you one more piece. Is this helpful to you? Are you starting to hear? Yes, big nods across the room. Okay, fantastic. So I want to give you another example. This one, again, comes from Robert McKee and about irreconcilable goods. He gives the example of a burning bus, and there's a bus and there's kids on it and it's burning. Obstacle, right? There's something like there's, right? And two people are there. There's a surgeon and there's a, I think it's a surgeon and an illegal immigrant worker, right? Like somebody's working illegally in the country. For each of them, you could tell a story about either of them, but do they go? What do they do? Remember, plot is what happens, but what they do tells us about the person. Does the surgeon go in or not? He's got like delicate surgeon hands. She's got delicate surgeon hands. And she goes in, she could, you know, lose her surgeon hand, she could get burned, and you know, she might not be able to keep her surgeon hands, but then if not, she runs away and the kids could die. The illegal immigrant worker, you know, when you're taking all the ID and everything as you get onto the bus, and she could be found out and deported. And so it tells us about that person and what they're made of by the decisions they make. And you can feel the potential irreconcilable goods in either of those, right? He doesn't flesh it out, but we could flesh out a story about that that would have a particular theme, and we would have to choose it. And then we could see how things got worse and worse, and you can see how to construct a story now, right? So let me do this for the illegal immigrant worker, for instance. I could start fleshing out and I pull out details just like Deborah did. Is it 8-track tape or is it the ring, right? I'd start pulling out details. In this case, it's a fictional story. I'm gonna make it up, but maybe she's on the phone with her and the phone, remember? It's like, don't be like Heidi number one. Everybody loses interest. Be like Heidi number two, right? Maybe she's on the phone. She'd pulled over to the side of the road and that's when she got to, you know, the bus went off the road or something, right? And she pulled over to the side of the road and she's in the middle of a conversation with her boss saying, if you're late one more time, you're fired. Now, aren't you interested? You weren't interested a minute ago, but now you're more interested because there's an obstacle. There's something, right? And then she hangs up the phone, she sighs and she sees the bus. And what she does next, right, tells us about her. And the theme of the story, let's say I want to say that it's, you do what's right no matter what. Then what am I going to have her do? I'm going to have her go run into the burning bus, right? Or actually, maybe I'm going to have her not do it and then regret it. And then it could be that same thing. You do what's right no matter what because she regrets it the rest of her life. Or maybe she goes running into that burning bus. And so if the theme is you do what's right no matter what, and all the while her phone is buzzing, and maybe the police officer comes, and as she's carting this kid out, he's a really awful villain guy, and he's about to cart her off to jail, right? Do you see, like, and you're interested in the story that I'm making up on the spot. Why are you interested? I want you to understand why you're interested. Why are you interested? Somebody tell me.
Things keep getting worse and worse.
Things are getting worse, and we want to know how she makes it through. Yeah, what else?
I identify with what would I do if I was in that situation.
Right. So the story is about her, but we place ourselves in it. And that's why it's not like beating somebody over the head with a theme. It's like if we say to people, you know, you should always pick up garbage from the street. Nobody wants to hear us. But if I tell a story about it, then we engender that feeling, right? Maybe it's somebody who didn't pick up the garbage and something bad happened. I don't know, right? And then there's a theme to the story, and that's really powerful. And the story has a theme, right? Yeah, go ahead, Marnie.
Well, I was gonna say, the other thing is it's upping the ante for the choice.
Yes, so exactly.
She could have just gone in and helped and then disappeared and not had the risk of being an illegal immigrant show up. But when the police officer shows up and she's identified, and now she's roped into the situation no matter what.
Right. And so I'm pulling out the details and I'm choosing them in order to do that, so that we get the theme. So it really matters, because if she didn't have any obstacles to overcome, then it would be like, she's sitting on the side of the road. Oh, look, there's a bus. And she gets the kids off the bus and everybody's saved. How interested are you in that story? You're not interested at all, but these are about kids. Come on. I want you to so understand it's about the story form. I just told you about burning kids and you don't care. Isn't that weird? When it's in story form a minute ago, you cared, because we're hardwired to hear and understand and relate through story. All right. let me see. And then I'm going to pull out the details in that story that matter too, because if I want to say that it really, that you do the right thing no matter what, maybe she even ends up spending the rest of her life in jail. I mean, Nelson Mandela's story is like that, right? Most of his life in jail. It can be an empowering story, and it, you know, but if she has a moment where maybe her life was all misaligned before, or maybe she had never been tested before or something like that, right? And even if she ends up in jail, but as she writes her journals in jail, and I'm making this up on the spot, she remembers the look in John's eyes, the little five-year-old who she carried out of the bus. You care about this fictional woman, right? Because it underlines the theme that you do it no matter what. And she knows that because of how she carried John out, and she remembers that, and you get that too, and it goes into your body. If this is making sense and you know you have the keys to the kingdom in this, raise your hand. Something really powerful. Yeah, good. You got it. Okay, really good. Jot down your biggest aha. Okay, I'd like to hear a couple of these ahas. I want to hear what you're hearing. Who would like to share? Could be what you wrote on the page, could be something that comes to you right now. Yeah, Marnie.
Purpose drives the choices in your story.
Right. Thank you.
And
yes.
And I was thinking about how we as humans respond, like if, let's say I show up late and I say, sorry, I'm late. And then you say, yeah, that's not good enough. So then I will come up with a story. well, you know, I left early, but there was an accident on the Deerfoot, and that still doesn't move you, I'll add. And, you know, I tried to get off, but the police were stopping us from doing this. And then that doesn't work. And then it was like, oh, and I noticed that the car was a friend. And so then I really had to, you know, like, it's in our nature that we have to justify what we do by adding those stories in this format.
We're natural story makers, right? And then I'm so glad you gave that example, Marnie, because this helps me underline another piece. I know we're working on some of the different parts, but they all work together, all right? And I can see you getting it. So I'm letting you see how the different parts work together, because there's a piece about keeping our audience in mind and who's actually at the center of the story. And we do have that tendency. I agree with you. I was like, oh, we're going to add this, got to add this, right? But from the audience's point of view, like, let's say it's, let's make it a nurse. I don't know. This came to me. I'm going to trust it. A nurse on a COVID ward. Right. So, and she comes in and says that, but the one who is, she's saying it to is, I don't know, a mom whose daughter is in the hospital dying of COVID. Has she chosen then? And I gave, Marnie didn't have that framework, right? But then did she tell the right story? Would it be the right story? Will the mom care about that? No. And again, Marnie just made it up in the moment, right? And she didn't have this scenario. But in that case, keeping the audience in mind, like that audience of that mom won't care about any of those details. So then who's the hero of the journey? There, in that case, the nurse is making herself the hero of the journey. But if she wants to tell the right story for that audience, that story is going to pull out different details like Deborah and the 8-track tape and the ring. And it's going to be, it's going to start out from a different place, like, and probably, you know, oh my God, how are you? How long have you been here? It's going to start, you know, beside your daughter. What do you need? You know, it's going to start from a different place, right? Yesterday, when I saw your daughter, let me tell you the story. You know, I'm here late, but let me tell you, you know, now would she have her audience? Probably, right? So the theme, the subject matter of the story, who's at the center of the story, you know, that's another line about the protagonist, right? Who the story is about. And then who the audience is, all these pieces work together, right? Okay.
Michelle?
Yeah.
The thing about, does it always, even in a short story, need the pattern of getting worse and worse?
So I love that question. Thank you. When you're telling a whole story, that is the shape of story. There are all kinds of that what I'm teaching you. You can go out and read about story theory and so on, and there's all kinds of exceptions, right? Mm. People who work to tell anti-stories, people who you know, the avant-garde, all kinds of different ways to tell stories. But, sorry, excuse me. For instance, I went to a 3.5-hour film at, it was part of kind of a symposium that I went to in Toronto years ago. And it was, had some of this avant-garde stuff and so on. And so this film was a 3.5-hour done in real time of a woman who went through her day and now she was cooking and she cooked for an hour and then she walked down the street, right? Stories are told like that. So I don't want to tell you that there's only one kind of story. And then at the end, I don't even remember. I think just out of the blue, I just remember there was blood. It was many years ago. She got killed. Somebody was killed. It was random. And then it ended. So people work to tell stories in all kinds of different ways. There were no obstacles there. It was not, it didn't, you know, have this escalation and so on. And they wanted to say, hey, we can tell a story any way whatsoever. But the audience for that kind of story is very small and select. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. And as entrepreneurs, the kinds of stories that are going to grab people are the ones that have those elements. Because think about it. your client is struggling with something. They've tried to fix it. It got worse. Isn't that what we're doing as entrepreneurs? We're trying to help them. And if it was just a little tiny thing like, oh, I stubbed my toe today. Oh, it's feeling better. Like, that's not what we're solving. It probably has felt like that. So we want to know how to tell the stories. But sometimes we might not be telling a whole story because language works in complex ways. And maybe we're just using a story element in something that we're saying. I mean, and yes, stories are everywhere, but they're not always constructed in that story shape. You know what I'm saying? There are bits and elements of story everywhere, put it that way. So for instance, I could just say, yesterday in the park outside my yard, outside my house, my place, I saw the most beautiful couple, this woman in this gorgeous, giant white wedding gown with it, which had this, it was giant and beautiful. And they stood there in the park so regally and royally. I fell in love with them. Right beside them was a man with a cart piled up with garbage. He was sitting on the bench. He had his head down. He was dressed in rags. And he didn't even move. I don't know to what end I'm telling you that story, that fragment of pieces of story yet. What I'm doing is mostly using imagery beyond the scope of what we're doing here, okay? Images, like things you can touch and smell and feel and see and taste. That is an element of story. I haven't told a complete story, but I've got your complete attention because I'm using story elements, but I didn't tell a whole story. So does that help you with the answer to that question? Because I didn't choose to tell a whole story there, but I'd better come to a point pretty quickly. Otherwise you'll lose interest, even if the imagery is strong, even if, because you all can, if you could see the scene that I just painted, raise your hand. It's because I'm using story elements, right? Then I better say something about it. Otherwise, even if I paint that wall, you're going to lose interest.
Well, so Michelle, if the story that I told, if I had given an example of another thing that I had thought about and said no, and then this would have been another. So it got worse and worse. You know, there was another and then this, and it would have built. Would that have made the story stronger if I had added in that element there of, you know, worse to worse? Or is it the before and after that keeps the interest of the reader?
Right, right. I don't want you to get too much in your heads about this. Here's what I want to say. Story is powerful. We've felt it many times. I don't want to teach you just in your head. I want you to get it in your bodies. The stories are immensely powerful. And we are always using story elements, you know, and here I'm talking about the formal elements of story, like protagonist and desire and all these things in our lives in ways that we don't even know we're doing it. But the more we can become conscious of using those story elements, the more we have the power to connect with another, to move our listener, to help somebody understand a point, to do all of those things, right? And sometimes I'm going to want to craft an entire story, right? And it could be a 5-minute or 1-minute story. And the more I use and learn about and use story elements, the more people will hear me. So I don't want to give a, well, yes or no, and because it's contextual. I don't know about this particular circumstance and why you're doing it and to what end, right? But to go back to my example that I just made up here about which actually happened to me yesterday, and it really did strike me when I saw them. I don't know yet what I want to say about them, but when we know about story, you have a lot of freedom and power to have your words land. Because I set that up to talk to you about, you can use even story elements and it makes a difference. Okay. But as I was telling that, if I didn't come to a theme soon, I would lose you, as I said. So, and what I decide to say about that, the more I understand about story, the more I can craft that. All right. So I gave you the picture of, you've already forgotten it, but you remember, right? She was standing there and then he was standing there. Here's several themes that I could go to, and then the rest of what I say better support that theme, just like last week, right? So I could say, I live in a diverse neighborhood. Just true. There's power in diverse neighborhoods. Because if we can't have a beautifully dressed bride beside a homeless man in our world, in our community, how are we going to do it in our worlds? Right? So when I understand story elements, I didn't even know I was going to say that. Well, I've got the elements sitting in front of me. I can say something. But I can also, just like from last week, say something else if I choose to, just like we did last week. So then I have more freedom because when I understand how stories work, then I could say something else. So let me think for just a sec. I'm going to say something that I don't even believe, all right? And this isn't me at all, but it could be used to this end, all right? And life is complex. If I search this, I could have seen this. Maybe, right? I looked at that bride, and her eyes were so big and so wide. I wondered if there was sadness in those eyes. It felt like it to me. Because here was her beautiful day, her one special day. And beside her was this mountain of garbage. Beside her were all of these smells and banana peels and trash. When it's her wedding, that place should be sacred. I'm saying something I don't believe at all. But do you see how powerful stories are? This is why I don't want to teach the evil ones, right? I mean, I'm not saying that's evil to say that. I'm saying I have a very different belief. And my belief is much closer to the first story than the second story. But the more I understand how stories work, the more I can, maybe I have a moment and an image comes up for me and I can trust it. And I know that I can make meaning from it. I know it's a powerful image, for instance. And I can decide what that's going to mean. While I have my audience, they're listening to me. The more I know about story form, the more I can use its elements. And so So Heidi, does that give you enough to go with right now? Okay, that's a great question. All right, jot down your biggest one. Yeah, Marnie, go ahead.
In Heidi's story as well, although it's a shortened version, the word choices are such that it let us insert all sorts of obstacles and information in there. So you use the word shame. Each of us will have a different definition of what shame means to us, but we added in all our obstacles and definitions of shame to them. And so you don't need to elaborate all of that. We already did it. So that's partly why your story had power for me, was I heard the word shame and I could imagine everything that went with that.
Yeah, great point. And this is both a power and a danger sometimes with stories, because sometimes we so fill in the blanks with what we know and we assume our reader or listener feels the same, but they actually don't. So I gave you that image of something that happened in the park in front of my place yesterday. Let's say I'm so strongly thinking about that that's the only park I can see. And I just say to people, you know, parks have diverse populations in them and we should preserve that. Nobody sees what I see and the words skirt along at the surface and nobody hears. But I think they hear because that image is so strongly in my mind, right? So it's both a power sometimes, but also a danger. And we want to be in the driver's seat of the story. And so the more we learn about story elements, I'm so glad you're all coming to Story Freedom too. More space and time, 3 days. I'm at a whole new place too. And so super excited about what we're going to be able to do at Story Freedom together, 3 days. But Yeah, all I can say is the more you learn about story, the more you can be in the driver's seat. And I'm giving you some of the key elements that will help you be in the driver's seat of that story. Yeah, Marnie, go ahead.
Have you ever worked with the six sentence story technique?
No.
So it's a technique that's designed to help people understand plot. And it's about learning how to tell a complete story in six sentences. And it's built on this concept of you have a character, they went to do something, they ran into an obstacle, they did something to counter that, and that seemed to resolve it, but then it actually created a bigger obstacle, they did something to resolve that, they created a bigger obstacle, and they did something to counter that, and that led to the result at the end.
That's super fun. Yeah, you can do it in six sentences for sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you could Google that if you wanted it. I think it's listed up there. And it's a really good technique to help you understand plot.
Super fun. Super fun. And so I'm just trying to decide which way we're going to go. Yeah, there's two things that I want to teach you. One of them is going to be this week. One of them is going to be next week. I think I'm going to leave this one. I better remember which one that I did. Yeah. Okay. We're going to play a game with story next time that will help us play with those elements so that you can own them for yourself. It's not the six sentence game. It's a different game, but I think you're going to like it. It's going to be fun so that you actually get to work with it on the spot. All right. What I want to do instead is I want to give you with the time that we have remaining, I want to give you a practical on the court business tool so that you can see how this applies, right? Not only in your life and on the court and when you're chatting with people. I mean, the next time you're chatting with a grocery store clerk, I mean, story is absolutely everywhere, you know? So you'll have fun things to play with and see the snippets and pieces of story that we've been talking about, right? But here's what I want to give you. And we have another handout for this. And have I shown you? Yeah. Okay. Hang on. It's there. Okay. So I wanted to show you the handout that you have. You can read through it before next week. And I call it the U-shaped story. So I wanted to show you how crucial these five elements of story are. There's many more elements of story than this. This is about plot, and there's like so many elements of story, right? But what are the basics that you can get a hold of so you can tell a story right away? So again, this is in Story Freedom Academy. There's these five story elements that we talked about. Somebody wants something, here's the, you know, informal way to talk about it. And I wanted to talk about how it applies to telling your own story or telling a testimonial, and they're very closely related, right? A testimonial, one form of testimonial is then, now, how. Then it was like that, now it's like this, and how did I get here? So that's like a simple way of telling a testimonial, and it's helpful, it's a good start. Sometimes people tell testimonials, say testimonials, but they do other things other than this, and this is effective. People wanna know what happened to them, right? So, well, I used to be 100 pounds overweight. That was then. Now I'm not. Here's the weight loss product I had that got, you know, I used that got me here. So you should get it too. Helpful as a start. But when we understand about story, we can do much better than this. So these five key story elements, again, this is plot. This is the, you know, how things, what happens in the story, right? That's plot. The U-shaped story, all it does is it turns these elements in a different order, really. And this is how testimonial works. It's much more powerful than this then, now, how, because it has the force of story behind it, which we've been seeing all along in these last couple of classes, right? So a U-shaped story, I called it this because it's in the shape of a U. And I think I love it because it's also U, like Y-O-U, you know, U-shaped story. So we start with the result, right? We start with both, you know, let me go back up again here so you can see it. We start with the protagonist and the result, right? Then we go to the obstacle. Then we hear more about the desire, that thing that they want. Then we hear about the crisis and the decision, and then we go back to the results. So we're just kind of rearranging the elements a little bit here, right? Things are good now, but it wasn't always this way. There was a bad thing before. All these bad things were happening, this and that and that, that obstacle happened. I had to make a decision to choose this. This is how I got out of my thing, or I got to my thing. Now I'm in a positive now, and that's why I started X. That's why I started my company. That's why, we could do this for anything. We could do this for, give me any subject area right now. Let's see what we can do. I mean, fitness training, veterinary medicine, I don't know, give me something.
COVID.
Okay. So, this just popped into my mind. So I'm going to tell you the truth. All right. So, right now I can sit here and talk to you and hardly cough at all. I feel pretty good, but I'm going to tell a very personal story, right? But it wasn't always this way. When I got home from Reno, I thought I was flying on the flight. I even told and you could hear the obstacles coming up, right? Yeah, I'm saying this, but you know it's going to turn bad. That's why you're interested. Yeah, hopefully you're interested, right? I even told the officer right at the airport that I was flying, but I grabbed my luggage. I started to head home, and all of a sudden I didn't feel good. And I called my daughter. I was headed home from the airport. I felt so tired in the Uber. Like, why do you care about this? You already know that I had COVID, right? It's because it's in this form that the story's grabbing you, even though you already know all this happened. Basically, you might not know the details, right? So, where was I? By the time I got home, I so wanted to give my daughter a hug. And instead, I had to tell her to back away. I kept my N95 mask on. I grabbed my luggage. I headed straight to my room. My daughter cried. She was so frightened. She was so worried about me. See, you've got, these are real elements of the story, right? And she was worried for me. She was worried for herself. And now I started going off a little bit for what the theme I want to be, right? So let me see if I can fix the story. Let me see. Well, no, I'm going to carry on with this story. So so I sent her over to her dad's. And how am I going to get, because I realized that sometimes the only way to truly love someone is to send them away. I didn't quite set up the story well because I didn't know that's what the theme was going to be. Just see how you work it, right? I realized that COVID can divide us, but we don't have to be separated. But sometimes separation, just like I had to be separated from my daughter, is the only thing that will save us. And in the end, it connects us. So I found out that distance matters more than we think. I don't know. And that's why I'm so behind sending your loved ones away the moment you feel sick, because, right? I mean, I didn't even know that I was going to go there. I didn't do that very well, but you can see that I'm following a U-shaped story. Let me go to where I was going to go. I got caught up in my own details of the obstacle, right? And I put the wrong obstacle in the way. So let me do a take two. And hopefully this is illustrative. I want to show you imperfect stories so you see how they get built. They don't come out like the final product, that we work them, all right? So right now I feel pretty good. I feel pretty healthy. I'm hardly coughing at all, but it wasn't always this way. I tell you, even this morning, I was coughing up a storm and I'm not all better yet from COVID. And this was happening to me over and over again until I remembered that one of the things that saves us is a neti pot. And it wasn't until I was almost like choking on a call the other day as I was being interviewed, that I remembered, you don't just use the neti pot once, you use it as many times a day as you need. And it's, and it, I'm so glad that I remembered. My doctor told me about it a few years ago. I'm so glad I remembered that that neti pot just clears all this congestion, that allows you to breathe, that you can actually do what you need to do. So now I can go through my day. I'm not completely better, but I can actually function. I can actually teach you guys. This is really true. I can actually teach you guys, and I can be present and think. And I got to tell you, you know, if you get COVID, man, run to your pharmacy and go get a neti pot. Now you all want a neti pot, right? Right. So I did a much better job of that story. But hopefully, as I show you these imperfect stories, you can see me working the elements of them. You can see by the mistakes too, and then like what I did wrong. I didn't lead to the right theme because I didn't know I was going to do it. I was going to lead to the neti pot. And I'm like, shoot, I forgot to talk about coughing. That's what I'm supposed to be talking about, not about my daughter. But I got distracted the way Marnie did when Marnie wanted to say, oh, but it's all worth it in the end. I wanted to say, really, it's about my daughter. And I can, you know, I think about my daughter and I get distracted over there. So that's why, again, to go back to another piece that we did today, plan, draft, revise. I planned it a little bit, like, what am I going to say? Even in that moment, right? I drafted it, I said it on the spot. Oh, I had to go back and revise it. I told you a new story. It had a theme to it, right? And in this case, the U-shaped story, I'm gonna put in front of you again. The U-shaped story, it's that, that's how I got out of my thing, right? And the theme in my story was very clear there. It's like, get a neti pot if you've got COVID, it'll be better. It's a non-medical intervention. It helps you breathe. It's doctor approved. It's been researched, you know? And again, if I had just said to you guys, by the way, if you know somebody who has COVID, get them a neti pot, you would not be convinced. But just because of the power of the shape of the story, the next time you hear somebody has COVID, you will probably want to at least look up a neti pot, won't you? It's the shape of the story that does it, right? It's the shape of the story. And then, one more thing I'll show you on the U-shaped story thing. So the last page of it, and again, you can go look it up, I gave this to you. I gave you a weight loss example. Today I can play on the floor and get down on the floor and play with my kids. I have more energy, but it wasn't always this way. A year ago, there was this and there was that. And then my doctor told me this and it gets worse and worse. And then I tried this, but then when I found this thing, it actually worked. My doctor gave me a clean bill of health. That's why I created this thing that I do, to help people just like you, so that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Whether it's COVID and a neti pot, or again, I'd have to reshape that story a little bit, but I didn't know where I was going, so I couldn't land on the theme as well about my daughter. And I have to choose. I can't talk about neti pot and my daughter. You won't hear me. All right. Thanks, Dawn. So we're coming to just the last couple minutes of our call today, of our retreat. We have done a lot. We'll see you next time, Dawn. We have done a lot. Oh my goodness. Thank you for playing full out, because it allows me to go to the deeper dive. If you don't know at least one more thing about story than you knew at the beginning of today, I'll eat my hat. Please don't make me eat my hat. I know you were listening. I know you were here. I don't have to say hope, right? All right. So for next time, we're going to play a bit of a game to help you, because seeing it and hearing it and doing it, like Marnie was pointing to, two are different things. So we're going to play a bit of a game to help us play with these elements. And then I've got some home play for you as well that I encourage you to do before next time. Go ahead and read those three handouts. There is more than meets the eye. Like I say, we spent a whole hour last time on just most of the first sentence of one of the handouts, right? So each piece will help you, and ask me questions if something doesn't make sense. A couple of the examples won't make sense. There's a couple of examples from Star Wars, but you can ask me and I can elaborate if you want. You'll get the gist of it if you don't get those examples. So read the three handouts. Decide where you want to use story and why. Where's your first place? That itself will say a lot. Where is it that you think is the most important place, right? What is it that's going to propel your company to the next level? Where's the most effective place to use story? and what's the problem you're trying to solve? Like, what is it, you know, who's the audience you're trying to reach, to what end, right? So think about that. And you can, and please post your questions, right? You'll receive the Jotform place to put your questions in, right? If you don't, amy@michellegunderson.com. If you don't see it in your inbox, reach out to Amy, make sure you have that so you can submit your questions. And if you submit that in the form of a question, then we can do some laser coaching with you and I can think about it in advance, right? Here's where I want to use story. Here's the problem. Here's an outline of what my story is. Can you help me? I will laser coach you on that if you submit it as a question. So read the handouts, think about where you want to most use story. And then also, here's a next level challenge to you. You could spend 5 minutes on this, or you could spend all week and it would be worth your time. Write your U-shaped story. You can do that for your own company, because if you, often what we do, we've done, like, we are our own best client. It's a past version of ourselves. If that's the case, you can write a U-shaped story for yourself, right? Well, right now I use story in my company to propel my company. I could tell that story all the time, right? But it wasn't always this way. When I first left, I've told a version of the story. When I first left university, I had no idea how it applied here and things were going wrong. When I learned how to apply it over here, this happened, right? And that's why I want to teach other people how to do this. So write your U-shaped story. And if you're not, if it doesn't work for you, you could use a case history. One of your students, if you aren't working with people in your area, or you've got a new area, then it's somebody you've volunteered with, right? So many ways to write your U-shaped story. So actually play with it. And same thing, you could post more than one question for me. Post a question that asks about your U-shaped story. You do one about where you most want to use story. You could give me your U-shaped story and we'll do as much laser coaching as we can. After we get to that, that game about plots, you can start to play with the elements and see how they work together in fun ways. And also, if I don't do this, just remind me, because it was going to do it today, but I'm going to do it next time instead. I just want to give you some quick tips about this, the story that everybody's usually so worried about. How do I introduce myself when I'm networking? I just want to give you, like, we can cover that in 5 minutes, all right? Just so you've got some basics of that and you'll see how it connects with the other things that we're working on, all right? Anything else that I wanted to tell you? You know a lot about writing, and I'm gonna show you that with a little fun game next time too. So if you don't hear any of those things, just remind me, because it's in my notes from this time, all right? So we're gonna end, it's like 1 minute to you right now. So if you need to go right on the hour, that's okay. Go jot down in your own notes what your aha and your inspired action is. And if you're able to stay for a few extra minutes, then I would love to hear one aha, one inspired action from everybody. If, like I say, if there wasn't one aha from today's call, I will eat my hat. You guys are playing at such a high level that I added some pieces because I knew you were ready to hear it. So, you know, I will teach to the level that you're showing up at. And this is, you've been doing outstanding work. Thank you, you guys. Amazing. Deborah, you are up in my upper left-hand corner, so you are up first. One aha, one inspired action. An inspired action is a check-offable thing. I'm actually going to do this in the real world, so this doesn't just stay as head knowledge, right? Something arising out of something that you've learned today or through this work. So, Deborah, one aha, one inspired action.
My aha is the fork in the road is irreconcilable goods.
Yeah, good.
And my inspired action is to do my personal U-shaped story.
Perfect. Love it. Thank you. On the court. Great thing to do. Fantastic. And you have the tools to do it now.
Yeah.
Great. Really good. Marnie.
My aha was that we're programmed to hear and share stories. Yes, and my action is to write the U-shaped story.
Thank you. Fantastic. Diane.
My aha was the power of the imagery and the details in it, and the importance of the obstacle and the choice around that obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
In many different ways.
And thank you for underlining that. Most we miss it because we see heart-centered. We don't want to go there. It's so important. Thank you for hearing it. Yeah. What's your inspired action?
So I'll be working on my U-shaped story too.
Yay. I'm hearing a theme here. Great work, you guys. Heidi.
That the irreconcilable goods is about the transformation of ourselves through the choices we make as expressed through the power of story.
Whew. Can you hear like all the knowledge about story that's in that sentence? And you guys have been doing it all along, but because you also use the technical language and pull together a lot of threads of what so many of you have been saying, I just want you to notice how much you have been learning about story through this, right? Yeah, wonderful, thank you. What's your inspired action?
To do my U-shaped story.
Yay. Anna Maria, to bring us home.
My aha is I have to be able to tell the story so people see what I see. Mm. And also to show vulnerability, understanding the story elements.
And say that last part again.
I said, show vulnerability, understanding the story elements.
Mm-hmm. All of these pieces, everything, you guys, these are amazing ahas, each and every one of you, so beautiful. And the interweaving of all of what you've said is such a beautiful summary of a lot of key points that we were on. So it forms a little mini consolidation for us. Great, great work. And what's your inspired action?
My inspired action is do the home plate.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well done, everybody. This is fantastic, fantastic work. This is the third time that I've taught this course. And I got to say, what you guys are doing is like in the stratosphere. This is my favorite, favorite time ever teaching this. And it's because of how you're showing up and what you're bringing to the table. Just outstanding. So if you take even one piece from one part of what we've done through this, it has the potential to utterly transform your company and your world. And I hear you playing at that level. Thank you so very much. You've made my day and I hope you've made each other's day as well in listening to each other and all you're bringing to the table. Great, great work. Have a fantastic week. I do have a call tomorrow if you guys want to come, remember that. And then we'll see you both Thursday and Friday next week and then 3 days the following week. So, if you need to go, thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. And Marnie, that was a question, so I'll stay to answer or address that question at that point. Thank you, guys. Great work.
I just had two quick questions.
And is it questions like about the course material so that it'll be helpful to others?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic day. Bye-bye for now. Let me stop recording.